Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is Jeff T from the Club 520 podcast. When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them, because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay authenticity guaranteed. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Welcome back, everybody. It's the Dynasty Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on the Twitter at Bogman Sports. I am joined, as always, by Pat Fitzmaurice at Fitz_FF on the Twitter machine. Fitz, we got a lot coming up. The combine's in the books. We're going to be talking about some of those results. Free agency starts in just a little bit here. So we're going to talk about some of the big free agents as well. We've got rumors swirling all over the place. How are you doing, my man?
Doing well, Boggs. Yeah, busy time of year in football. And, you know, I'm not totally monogamous when it comes to my sports fandom. I like college basketball. I like baseball. So there is a lot cooking this time of year. It's a fun time to be a sports fan.
I've gotten the thumbs up a couple times from Pat in the baseball mock drafts that we've been doing over at ITL. So I've seen you in the rankings. Most of the time, Scott Bogman gives me the number one ranking. But sometimes it is also Fitz. You've also disliked a couple of my teams, I think, at the end. Joe doesn't like any of my teams, man. I think it's because I had been taking shares of DeGrom, but Joe doesn't like any of mine. But it's a good sports time right now. You have all the off season flowing with football. We have baseball over at Fantasy Pros. Golf is going on. The NCAA tournament at Betting Pros is getting huge. World Baseball Classic. So yeah, Fantasy Pros is Betting Pros. We are where it's at when it comes to sports. And we had the combine. The combine has come and gone. I am a guy that loves the NFL, can't get enough of it, and even I will find myself dozing off at the combine sometimes. But we got the numbers, which is what we wanted. We said there's going to be some separation in this class because of the numbers. Man, a lot of these numbers are so good for these guys, Fitz. It was a fun combine, and of course the rumors coming out of it were the biggest thing. So we are about to dive in and talk about some of these results. But before we do, I got to tell you guys about Reality Sports Online, the powerful fantasy sports platform where owners get to build and manage their fantasy teams like an NFL general manager. But the question is, have you tried it? It's time to see what all the buzz in the Dynasty community is about. Free agency, multi-year contracts, a rookie draft, multi-team trades, franchise tags, contract extensions, first-round rookie options, automated contracted salary cap functionality, and much, much more. Think it sounds complicated? It is not. The best thing about Reality Sports Online Fantasy Front Office is that it doesn't take any more time than a standard league. It just requires more strategy. Think you're among the fantasy elite? Well, this is the platform to test your mettle. Still not sure? You can test out your general manager skills for free, FREE, in a mock if you like what you see. Use a promo code FANTASYPROS to receive a 10% discount on your team or league today. Fantasy just got real at realitysportsonline.com. All right, Fitzy, let's dive into the combine and go over the results. We're going to start at quarterback. Only seven were graded. Only seven did enough to get a relative athletic score, an RAS score. And this is basically a measurement. They've been doing these at the combine since 1987. They take all your workout numbers between your 40 times, your three cone, your agility test, your vertical, your broad jump, anything that you have, your height and weight have to be in there too. And they give you an RAS score. This has been around for a while. It's kind of becoming the standard in terms of you know, in terms of athletic ability from the combine. But there are plenty of guys that grade high and play like garbage. That has happened many, many times. And there's plenty of guys that grade like garbage and play great. So it's not linear, but it's what we use coming out of the combine. And starting at quarterback fits, Anthony Richardson, first QB to ever score a perfect 10, set all kinds of records, 40 time for quarterbacks, vertical for quarterbacks, broad jump for quarterbacks. We saw him dropping some dimes in there. So let's just get the buzz on the table about Anthony Richardson right now. And it is as high as it's going to get.
It is. And yeah, I mean, he was the story of the combine, Boggs. 6'4", 244. That's what makes the 40 time, his 4.43 40 time, so enticing, is that he did it at 244 pounds. That
and
is
he didn't
bit...
even run straight in a straight line. Did you see him veer off?
He was drifting, exactly.
Oh, Lordy.
That is a big man moving at a high rate of speed. So, yeah, and as you mentioned, quarterback records in the broad jump and vertical jump. So, yeah, I mean, like, we were excited about him, and the knock on him is the consistency in his ball placement with his throws, especially like shorter and intermediate throws. But man, the athleticism just shows what the rushing upside could be here. So, Boggs, have you fundamentally changed anything at the top of your rookie QB rankings? I can tell you that I had Richardson fourth, just behind Will Levis, and now I've got him third ahead of Levis, but I've still got him behind Stroud and Young.
I have been dancing between him and Bryce Young for my number one quarterback for fantasy. Now, look, if I'm an NFL GM, he's still number four to me, right? Because he just doesn't have much experience on the field. And we did hear a lot of GMs say this, but I kind of think, I mean, we'll get into Lamar stuff later. I kind of think there's an unspoken rule about keeping calm about some of these players these days, because no one wants somebody to get a Deshaun Watson contract again or whatever. But the buzz is, you know, well, we knew he was going to test great. It's kind of the thing that we talked about a couple weeks ago, Pat, where it's you don't count it twice. You know what I mean? We knew he was going to test athletically amazing. So let's not count it twice. It's still, you know, the processing and all that stuff. And a lot of the interviews said that he's behind in terms of, you know, being able to read a defense and things like that, which, you know, I don't know. Let's not go negative coming off of a great day here. But I mean, for fantasy, the upside, he has the highest, and that's not really that's not a hot take. That's not a, you know, I don't think it's very arguable that Anthony Richardson has the highest ceiling out of these guys. But I also don't think it's arguable that he has the lowest floor of all these guys. Maybe you could say Levis also has it, a low floor, that is. But we know Stroud and Young are going to be good and maybe even great. But Anthony Richardson has a higher ceiling than all of these guys. And I think for fantasy, he has to be number one right now. Landing spot matters for everyone. And maybe I'll be in on Bryce Young more by the time we get there. But right now, in terms of fantasy, it's got to be him because he has the best upside by a lot to me.
Yeah, I agree with that. And the other guys, none of them hurt themselves at the combine. You know, Levis went in, and I think Levis just threw, and he ripped his throws. And, you know, CJ Stroud had a really good throwing session. I've now got him ahead of Bryce Young, just because I've been concerned about the size with Young. Although, to his credit, Bryce Young did weigh over 200 pounds. I think it was 204. Right. Granted, some of
he
that
went on
was
the Scott
probably
Bogman diet for about a week.
Yeah, that was it. I'm guessing
he's fine. Yeah.
That morning he probably had three cheeseburgers and a triple thick milkshake. So, right. But all those guys, no one did themselves a disservice at the combine, but clearly Richardson was the guy everyone's excited about coming out of Indy.
Yeah. Richardson, huge day. CJ Stroud, like you said, didn't do much. Stetson Bennett had to answer a bunch of questions. Obviously, there's stuff with Jalen Carter as well. So, you know, a lot going on at the quarterback position. Go ahead.
Yeah, let me ask you about Bennett for a sec, Boggs. I mean, no one's going to confuse him with any of these top four guys. I mean, it's the top four, big fall off, probably Hendon Hooker at five, and then like the rest of the quarterbacks. But I mean, Stetson Bennett threw some unbelievable deep balls in that drill. I mean, like, that guy's
got more. You watch him
at
Georgia, the guy can make every throw. He can make every throw.
He's got maybe more of a hose than I've given him credit for. And he's obviously led the Georgia Bulldogs to consecutive national championships. He's 5'11", though. He's 192 pounds. He turns 26 during the football season.
Yeah.
But, man, like, we saw the arm strength, Boggs, 4.67 in the 40. This guy can move. And he's got 10-inch hands. Even though he's 5'11", he's got some meat hooks. So do you think he can be, like, a quality backup quarterback in the NFL?
Yeah, Brock you Purdy. Think,
I mean, that's I take that as a high compliment now.
It is. And, look, until the combine, my thought has been, well, we know the Ravens are taking Stetson Bennett, right? Because they need another backup quarterback now, even though they franchised Lamar, and Lamar still might not even be there because they, you know, non-exclusive rights. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But, you know, Todd Monken comes in. He was the OC at Georgia. He comes in to be the OC with Baltimore, and that just seems like a perfect fit for me. He knows the system. He's coming in. You know, you don't have to do a lot for him. It's either that to me or a place like San Francisco where Brock Purdy went in, and Brock Purdy almost had the same scenario at Iowa State where he had Breece Hall and Xavier Hutchinson and Charlie Kohler and all these great experienced players around him to build with. And, you know, all you got to do at that point is not make mistakes. So Bennett had, you know, the best help that he could possibly have, guys that have been drafted in the first round on the line, receiving core, tight ends. You know, Darnell Washington might be the first tight end picked in this draft, and he was not the best tight end at Georgia. So, you know, Stetson Bennett had a lot of help for himself, but the combine opened some eyes, I think. So teams looking for a backup. I mean, would you hate to see him go to Arizona and potentially, you know, try to compete with Colt McCoy for that, you know, first two or three months with Kyler Murray out? I think that would be a good spot for him too. So I think he made himself a draftable guy at the combine, even with his off-field stuff, which was, you know, dicey. You're going to be older than all of the other rookies and some of the veterans. You should not be making these mistakes, right? So come on.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I mean, I think there are worse ways to spend a fourth round pick in a dynasty rookie super flex draft.
Yeah. Take a flyer on him. Yeah. He definitely is going to get drafted, I think, at this point. The running backs. So Bijan did everything. He ended up second in the class with a 9.81. Denarik Prince, what came in here as the number one scorer, a 9.83, which is very high. 10 is the highest you could possibly get. But you know, he didn't, his size was okay. 5'11", 216. That's your prototypical size. But broad jump was 10'4", 4'4", 140. Great on the 10-yard split. Great on the 20-yard split as well. Big day for him. I'd say this is a guy that's tested well. His film doesn't match up with his testing, right? Kind of indecisive at the line. Doesn't show the breakaway speed as much on film. But a solid guy that has carried plenty of times in college that can be productive at the next level. Bijan was second, like I said before. Chase Brown, Pat, a 9.75 after terrible showing at the Senior Bowl, really had a great showing here. Evan Hull, who is just piling good days on top of each other, was fifth in this class. Roschon Johnson was eighth. They're only 14 graded. Jahmyr Gibbs was ninth. Tank Bigsby was 10th with a 7.81. It kind of started to drop with Gibbs. Your boy Devin Achane didn't do very well, and Kenny McIntosh didn't get graded, but he had some weird testing. So I don't know. Like, we know Bijan's number one. He didn't do anything to disprove that, and you know, he did all of it, showing he's kind of willing to do things. So he's still easily the number one guy. And I've even heard if the Panthers don't get a quarterback, that they would be all in on Bijan because he's the top guy on their board after one of those QBs. So that's interesting to hear. What are your thoughts on the rest of the running backs that tested here?
Oh boy. Well, let me preface this, Boggs, by saying I'm going to make some references to speed score, burst score. Those yes. are metrics used by our friends at playerprofiler.com. Speed score is basically judging a player based on their 40 time combined with their weight. So, okay. You know, the bigger guys A guy like Anthony Richardson, who is big and runs a fast 40, is going to have an amazing speed score. I'm sure he's 100th percentile among quarterbacks. And burst score takes the two jumps and I think factors in a player's size. So if you have a burst score that's high, you did well in the jumps, which, you know, measures explosive athletic qualities. So Jahmyr Gibbs, I mean, I was excited to see him run a good time, a 4.36. I think I'd rather have Gibbs than any of the wide receivers in this class. And I wasn't sure about that going into the combine. What disappointed you about A-Chain Boggs? The 4.32 and the 40? I'm not sure what else he did, but
it's the size. Like, and yeah, it's not, you can't count it twice. You know, we said that. It's just, to me, it wasn't surprising. He came in light and small, you know, 5'8", 5'8", 4. What was that? 189, 188, something like that. He ran a 4.32. That's great. Didn't do the broad, did the vertical, only 33 inches there. You know, he is straight line speed to me. So I don't. Does he have a role? Absolutely. What you like about a guy like A-Chain is if you have that mauler, if you have Brian Robinson, right? And he is just hammering and hammering and hammering. And then he's wearing down that defense. And then you bring on this speedster, he can hit a home run for you, you know, but I just don't know. I don't know how much more he is than that. Are you still Devin A-Chain as third in this class after the combine, or have you moved up on some other guys?
I mean, he's third for me, Boggs, but like draft capital is going to swing things around. Like,
sure.
I mean, I'm definitely after Bijan and Gibbs, those guys are one and two without question. And after that, it's going to depend on draft capital and landing spots for sure. Okay. Like a lot of these guys, I mean, we're mixed up with a lot of these guys. And I don't think, in some ways, there was a little bit of clarity with the combine results, but in other ways, it's like these guys are still kind of jammed up. And a lot of these guys didn't test at all, like Sean Tucker and your guy from Pittsburgh.
Abakanda. Yeah.
Abakanda. Thank you. Evan Hall, you mentioned him, 4.47. And it's funny, Derek Brown showed me something, and it was a comp with Christian McCaffrey as far as size and testing numbers. And like Evan Hall is almost like a dead ringer for Christian McCaffrey, which, all right, I'm not like trying to go too far here, obviously.
I mean, Chase Claypool was Calvin Johnson, you know, and so was Christian Watson, you know, so.
But I mean, as Thor says,
are fine.
Yeah, as Thor Nystrom, our college football expert at Fantasy Pros and Betting Pros, said about Evan Hall, we at least know what he can do and what he can be in the NFL. Like, he's going to be a pass catcher, like a good-sized pass-catching back who's also, like, big enough to handle early down work. And at Northwestern, I mean, he led all Big Ten running backs in receptions last year. And it's funny because I've got a friend who is a teacher up in the northwestern suburbs of Minneapolis where Hall is from. And, you know, he knew Hall in like youth football and high school and everything. Apparently Hall used to not be good at catching passes. Like he was like not natural and just kind of had bad hands. And obviously gotta that's gotten ironed out. So,
yeah. But,
so, Boggs, we saw Roschon Johnson and Tank Bigby, two of the bigger backs, like the guys candidates for early down work in the NFL, both ran like good times, you know, for bigger guys. They were sub 4.6. I won't say good times, like not exciting times, but you didn't want to see them north of 4.6.
Right.
Like we saw Isaiah Spiller. Like, remember how last year a lot of people thought Isaiah Spiller was like maybe on a par with Breece Hall and Kenneth Walker? And then he ran out and ran a 4.69 at the combine last year. Yeah. And, you know, we haven't seen Spiller do anything yet in the NFL. So they're guys who can get DQ'd that way. I think one of the guys, certainly Roschon Johnson, Tank Bigsby did not get DQ'd. One of the guys, Kenny McIntosh, the 4.62 at 204 pounds. That is a speed score. I think that's like in the 8th percentile.
You know, what's funny is, I started doing my real deep dive on running backs this weekend. And I started, you know, getting into the film and watching these guys, and I keep moving guys above Kenny McIntosh. And I haven't, you know, I don't do grades. I just do where I would draft them if I was a GM, right? Like, you know, the order that I would take them in. And right now, after Robinson and Gibbs for me, and I haven't done my breakdown on Achane yet, so I'm saving that last. I don't want to watch Aggie film all day. So, you know, I've got Charbonnet well ahead. I know McIntosh is third to some people. Spears, Roschon, Bigsby, all ahead. I have him in the same kind of group as Evans and Sean Tucker, where just something's missing. Like, these guys are not complete yet. So he is, to me, is firmly behind those other guys that you mentioned, and Zach Charbonnet, who didn't really test that much. So, you know, he's still a very good athlete. And it was so weird. If you look at his RAS score, right? If you click on that link I put in there, it's this 10-yard split was in the green, meaning positive. His 20-yard split was normal, and his 40 was bad, 4.62. That put like a bad grade. So it's like the first couple steps out of there, he has explosion, but he doesn't have the long speed. So to me, that's kind of Devin Singletary as your peak. You know what I mean? Like, Devin Singletary is the same type of guy who he can get through that hole. And to be honest, I was low on Singletary coming in. I was probably too low on him. So I've kind of adjusted that, but he's that guy that, look, he can get past the line, but he's not hitting home runs, right? He's going to get tackled. So that's kind of where he is. He's more of a grinder than we thought. And that's, you know, his game doesn't shouldn't translate as well at the next level as it did in Georgia, because you're not going to have all five-star offensive linemen and, you know, guys like Darnell Washington and George Pickens out there blocking for you as well downfield. So going to be tougher for him. Yeah. So
To what extent do you think Chase Brown salvaged his draft stock after, like, if you had to guess which round he is drafted in? Because we had talked about this bad combine. He fumbled once without being touched.
Bad senior bowl. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Bad senior bowl. Bad in pass protection, was just getting blown up. Bad at catching passes. Pretty much just had a lousy week in Mobile. Then he comes in at the combine and you know, at 209 pounds, runs a 4.43, only running back to hit 40 inches in the vertical jump, also the best broad jump of any running back at the combine. So this dude is really athletic.
I think the sixth.
Yeah.
I think that's where he goes.
I think that's a good call.
Day three for sure. I don't think he's definitely not sneaking into day two.
No.
He's still a project, but he's a project that has great athletic ability, which is exactly what you want if you're taking one of these guys late. So, yeah, I mean, great combine for him, but it's not going to make up for the rest of the stuff. So,
agreed. You know. But I mean, if he had run a 4.58 or something, he was in danger of not getting drafted.
Yeah. Well, I think coming in, he was not getting drafted. And he just put himself on the board again. So going to have another good pro day and a lot of good interviews to get drafted now. But I think the six, I think someone will take him because that athletic scoring is great. The wide receivers, 43 wide receivers graded. I mean, this class is deep. It is the abyss deep, Fitzy. You know, Jalin Hyatt, sixth best grade in the class, a 9.46. Jackson Smith and Jigba, seventh in the class at a 9.39. Josh Downs was bad. Zay Flowers was bad. Jordan Addison was awful. Tank Dell, the size really got to him. And Kayshon Boutte was ridiculously bad. I mean, terrible score in the combine. The top four are guys that maybe you haven't heard of if you're not the biggest college football fan here. Bryce Ford Wheaton from West Virginia, Jonathan Mingo, Andre Yosevich, Matt Landers. Those were the top four, and they were all over 9.9s. And the next highest score was a 9.65 at fifth from Rashee Rice, who's also a solid option. So did you dig in a little deeper on those top four guys? Have you watched any of, because Bryce Ford Wheaton, that dude tore up Texas. So I knew he was going to be pretty big, and he has size. You know, still needs to round out a lot of really just, I mean, he catches with his chest so much instead of his hands. So there's a lot of little technical things, but these guys all have size because you have to have decent size to grade well if you're undersized, which is a lot of the knock on, you know, guys like Zay Flowers and Josh Downs here. But did you peek into any of those top four guys yet?
I've not really done the deeper dive on them, but Ford Wheaton's on the radar for sure now after pretty much not being on the radar at all.
Yeah.
Really interesting here, Boggs. Like, I think Smith and Jigba and Quentin Johnston have sort of separated themselves. Like, you have to put Addison third after the way he tested, don't you think? I mean, Addison is 5'11", 173 pounds, so 4.49, even though that doesn't sound like a bad time. That is an 18th percentile speed score. So for a man that light, you know, he's not exactly turning on the jets. And towards the bottom of the receivers with both his broad jumps and vertical jumps, just not overly athletic. And we know that he's more of a smooth mover than a guy
who's a finesse.
Yeah. But, you know, I do have some concerns about whether he can be special with, you know, a smaller guy with really ordinary athletic traits.
Yeah, I understand the ordinariness of his athletic traits, but to me, it's the hand fighting and the separation and the route running. Like, yeah, I did not expect him to come here and blow the top off of the combine. So yeah. I didn't expect him to be this bad, you know, comparatively to the rest of the class. So it was a little surprising. I don't know, between him and JSN hasn't seen the field for a while, you know, so that worries me a little bit. For Addison, I still think Addison is a back end of the first round. Maybe that first pick in the second round. I wouldn't mind that, Fitzy, because the Steelers got that from the Bears for Chase Claypool. I'd replace Claypool with Jordan Addison, no issue. So, but I think he's still a first rounder, even if you put him third. I think that's fair. I think it's fair to put him at third. I don't know. I think I might have him two now. I might put him behind Quentin Johnston, but JSN and, you know, being on the field scares me a little bit. That's all.
Yeah. And Johnston is polarizing. He didn't run, but he jumped, didn't he? He jumped really well.
Yeah. And like the reason he didn't run is because these guys are putting up crazy scores. And by the way, you remember last season in the combine, the gun was hot. And everybody was running 4.2s and all that stuff, and they had to readjust it a couple days later. This 4.29 was actually a 4.34 because we were half a second off, and all that crazy nonsense they were doing. The gun was cold this time, and so the numbers were better after doing the official measurements and stuff like that. So, you don't run in a class where, you know, all of these guys are going to run. And, you know, the only thing keeping the guys like Josh Downs and Tank Dell down, Zay Flowers, the same thing is the size grade. You know, Josh Downs came in at, what did he come in at? 5.9 even, but he still ran a 4.48. That's still very fast. A 10-yard split was green. His vertical was 39 and a half at 5.9, and his broad was 10 feet 11 inches. Like, there's still a lot of athletic ability there. He's just small. Same thing with Zay Flowers, which, by the way, I saw today, Zay Flowers is one of 13 children. And I was like, that's why he runs routes so well. You got to be first one at the dinner table with the family of 13 there. So, you know, I'd be a precise route runner if it was getting the food first. I know that. So, but yeah, I mean, a lot of the size stuff here, like I saw someone say, I wasn't really impressed with Jalen Hyatt's, you know, scores here. And I was like, the dude ran a 4.4 flat. Like, not everyone is going to run 4.29. It's just not realistic, you know? Yeah, I mean, so Jalen Hyatt's still very fast.
I understand the point that, like, Hyatt is only 176 pounds. So when you take that 4.4, it's actually only like a 47th percentile speed score. But 4.4 is plenty. Like, that's,
yeah,
we know what Hyatt does. I think the only question is whether he's a one trick pony in the NFL. And I'm kind of worried that he is, that he's just a you know, field stretcher and that's it.
Yeah, he definitely could be, which is why he gets that Will Fuller comp all the time.
That might be a good one. Although I did think Fuller was, you know, proving to be a little more versatile than that before his career kind of went off the rails. Like I thought he had a little bit of, yeah, exactly. But I thought Fuller was kind of capable of turning into like a T.Y. Hilton, a smaller guy who had more than just the vertical dimension. And
I still think that's on the table, you know. Yeah. Butte, bad, bad scores here. Now, I did not expect him to, another guy that you see him, he does it with finesse, right? But nothing was good coming out. The vertical was 29 inches. The broad was 9 feet, 10 inches. Everyone else was over 10. You know, his 4 or 5 flat, which is still fast, but at his size, which also wasn't as big as we thought. I thought he was going to be 6'1", somewhere in that neighborhood, 5'11", 195, you know, a little smaller than we expected too, with bad scores. I think he lost the most out of any wide receiver here.
Disappointing. I mean, the only thing that's really keeping him on the radar was that amazing stretch he had in 2020 as a freshman, where he looked like he was going to be a superstar. And since then, it's just been, you know, mostly a disappointing run for that guy. So now I think he's a day three guy, no question, and possibly even late day three. So I guess it's going to depend on landing spot for him, Boggs. And one other guy I want to mention to you, when we talk about the combination of size and speed, I was intrigued by Tank Dell. And I know the guys I've talked to who were at the Senior Bowl were intrigued by Tank Dell down there and how this guy was just this little gnat who the corners could not stay with. You know, if you could get your hands on him, you could neutralize him. But if you couldn't get your hands on him, it was game over. Unfortunately, at 165 pounds, a 4.49, which is 6th percentile for speed score. You know, a dude that little, 5'8", 165, he's got to run by a people box. And if he can't do that, I don't see much future for him. So he's kind of off my board now. I hate to say it.
Okay, so I'll give this for him. Like, look, I don't have anything to say about the size. It was tiny, right? So I'll say this for him. His 10-yard split was still real good, according to RAS. I don't know how, speed score sees his 10-yard, but to me, that's like you get the jump off the line and you can still snap off a route because he's real, you know, he's still twitchy to me. Not crazy twitchy, obviously. The scores weren't great, but he's still twitchy to me. So I think there's still a possibility. But also, like, you take Dell and your downside is Jakeem Grant. You know what I mean? Like a special teamer, a guy that will return kicks and punts and can fill in as a wide receiver for you. But at that size, you're getting a little gadgety without that crazy, you know, cheetah Tyreek Hill speed. If you're going to be that small, you got to be real fast or go up and get it. Like, you know, we know Josh Downs, great contested catch rate. You know, Tank Dell didn't have that one either. So, you know, it's tough. It's tough to come in that small and expect to get drafted. So he'll still get drafted, but this is a good class. And, you know, do you think him or Bryce Ford Wheaton right now?
I mean, probably Ford Wheaton just on the testing and the size.
Yeah.
One other guy, when I ask you about Boggs, what are your impressions of Jonathan Mingo? Because, all right, this guy, bigger receiver in a pretty small receiver class.
Yeah.
This guy, I think, had the second biggest hands of any wide receiver at the combine. Goes out and at his size runs a 4.47. And if you watch this dude play, I mean, boy, I'm not going to compare him to Sterling Sharp, but he has one of those, like, he is a bad man with the ball in his hands. Like, not quite as elusive as Deebo Samuel, but like Deebo, he is really hard to tackle.
He's got that rack and he goes to it real fast too. Like get the ball in his hands. He is turned around. He's not looking for a route. He's looking for someone to hit, you know, he's a beast with the ball in his hands.
Anquan Boldin in him who, you know, Anquan was not really known as a separator and neither is Mingo.
Right.
But, you know, plus he's coming out of Ole Miss, which has some pretty good pedigree with Ole Miss wide receivers. Yeah. And he played against SEC competition. So Mingo is a guy who, like, that 40 time kind of turned my head. Like, he was one of the few receivers who I thought, like, really, I don't know, sort of boosted himself in my eyes at the combine, mainly because of like hand size and 40 time.
It's one of those things though, right? Like, because you look at Mingo and you see this text and you go, oh wow, look at this size and speed combo. And you watch him, like, if you watch a highlight film, you're like, how is this guy not in the top five? Look at him go with the ball in his hands. But it's, you know, he's not burning people on the field and he's not getting a ton of separation. Now you got to be that contested. And that's why he's got that fight. You know, he's got that fight in him because he has to. So it gets tougher at the next level. So it's just getting off the line for him is the biggest thing, but that can be taught.
And he's another body catcher too. Boggs.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, he's a bit of a body catcher, which is annoying because you're a wide receiver, man. Just stick those paws out. Exactly. You're going to get it. Exactly. So, all right. So let's go to the tight ends here. Fitzy, you know, Zach Kuntz, the very first only perfect score for a tight end in combine history, according to RAS, which is since 1987. So it's 36 seasons of combined data. So the only this dude was hurt last year, played at Old Dominion. He was at Penn State behind Pat Freiermuth before that. You know, a big recruit who went with Ricky Ronnie, the OC at Penn State, left for the Old Dominion job, so he followed him there. You know, big kid, but he's a slot wide receiver. He's not really a tight end. He's not inline blocking for you, so he is going to grade below all of the other guys in terms of a big board for an NFL team because he is a one-trick pony. The one trick is great for us in fantasy, so if he gets on the field and gets time and qualifies at tight end, that's great. You want a 6'8", you know, Jelani Woods-style red zone threat. That's what you want from him. So he was great. But then the other guys, and there were only 14 graded, Musgrave, 9.95, second in the class, six all time among tight ends. Darnell Washington, 9.85. He was third in the class. Sam Laporta from Iowa, 9.26, six in this class. And Michael Mayer didn't grade great comparatively, right? He was 13 of 14 graded. But when you look at historical tight end data, he's still in the green as far as good. And, you know, so like I said, athletically low, another guy we did not expect to come in and tear it up at the combine. He was good, not great, which is what we wanted to see from him. So for me, I think he stays high in those boards, but it is getting, I thought it was going to get easier after the combine fits to separate these tight ends. It got harder because Musgrave, sixth best score of all time. You know, now Zach Kuntz has entered the chat as a potential high-end tight end as well. So Darnell Washington out there making one-handed catches and pushing the sled like it was, you know, a balloon. It was nothing to him. And every other guy was out there struggling with it. And he moved it, you know, like it was nothing, like he was pulling in the trash can from the curb. It was crazy. So, you know, it's getting me more and more excited about the tight end class every time we talk about it, Fitzy.
Yeah. I would urge anyone who hasn't seen that to Google or search on Twitter, Darnell Washington sled. And yeah, it will show you a video that, you know, how he moved the sled relative to some of the other tight ends. And it's like these other guys are barely moving this thing. And Washington is like, where do you want it? Like he's you know, a mover with a box of like right, you know, children's toys or something like that. So that was impressive. And then obviously a big man, 6'7", 264, running a 4.6440, which is a 96th percentile speed score. I mean, he could very well be the first tight end drafted, Boggs, and it could be in the first round, conceivably. It's just,
you know, where I keep thinking is look at 11 with Tennessee, because now they have to have a blocking tight end, or they got to bring one back because they lost Hooper, they lost Swaim. Okonkwo is the only guy with experience, really,
but he's a
on
a
that
move
roster.
Tight end. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
not a
so,
blocker.
Right, exactly. So you need that. Plus, you need a receiving option because you just cut Bobby Trees and Treylon Burks. It's like your only guy now. Nick Westbrook-Akina is even a free agent. So you don't have a lot there. It's Kyle Phillips and Treylon Burks. Darnell can do that too. And they need O-line help. worst offensive line in the league, and he can block. I think it makes a lot of sense at 11. Obviously, if you're Tennessee, you'd like to pick up more picks, maybe move back and grab Darnell Washington if you can. But that's like as early as 11 is what I see for Darnell Washington now, because he was unbelievable.
Yeah, and I don't think Laporta or Musgrave get out of the second round now.
Yeah, I think you're right.
It'll be interesting. Mayer could be the first tight end drafted, but would it shock you if like two tight ends were drafted before Mayer?
Nope, it wouldn't at this point. Same. I think it would have a month ago. Yeah. I think I would have been surprised because I had Mayer. I was like, well, come on, Mayer can do everything. You know, almost, you know, you describe, I think he's better Dalton Schultz, right? I think because you kind of described Dalton Schultz as a average athletic guy. You know what I mean? Which I think is fair. I think Mayer is kind of the same guy with that good to great brain. He knows where to be all the time, knows how to block, knows what the play is going to be, knows how to set up blockers when he's running with the ball, all that stuff. But he's a tick slower than these other guys. But he will be on the field before any of them. So yeah. He's plug and play. I think Darnell Washington is getting closer and closer to plug and play. But yeah, I could see the ceiling on Musgrave is higher. The ceiling on Darnell is higher too. It's just nobody has that floor that Mayer has. So he still could easily be the first, but I would have no issues with a team taking one of these other guys. It wouldn't be shocking at all.
Yeah, and we don't want to overplay the combine because, I mean,
yes,
it's been said that your college career is your resume and the combine is your cover letter. And Mayer has got a heck of a resume. And, you know, just because his cover letter didn't dazzle, although I guess that's more important now since, you know, computers read cover letters and algorithms sort them out. So, but yeah, like not to slam Mayer, he just didn't shine at the combine the way some of these other guys did.
Right. Well, let's talk about some of the rumors that came out and a couple of the free agency things, the free agency starting in just a couple of days. Before we get to that, I got to tell you guys to subscribe to the Fantasy Pros YouTube channel and comment below this video that you're watching right now, because when you do, you could win a free FREE upgrade to Fantasy Pros Premium. Whether you're looking for custom mock drafts, salary cap tools, in-depth analysis of your fantasy performance, Fantasy Pros Premium has the tools to help you win. Unlock the most powerful fantasy tools in the industry. Don't want to wait for the giveaway? Sign up for fantasypros.com/premium and start playing smarter, not harder. Get after it. All right. So we have Derek Carr officially to the Saints. As we're recording this, Aaron Rodgers is jet flying around with the ownership of the New York Jets. We got, you know, Danny Dollars now instead of Danny Dimes. Joe Mixon's in some trouble. Brady might be back. What was the thing that surprised you the most of the rumors coming out of the NFL draft and kind of what we have swirling in the Yetis right now?
I don't know about rumors, Boggs, but I mean, like, obviously, well, the Rodgers stuff is big, you know, and by the time this is released, it's possible Rodgers has already been traded to the Jets. Like, that now seems like it might be kind of imminent. You know, can we talk about the Derek Carr signing for a second?
Sure. Yeah.
Like, I mean, do you like the landing spot for him?
I do. I like it's fine. I don't know that it's great. I mean, I like it better than like Carolina or Houston or something. So I guess it's okay. You have Chris Olave. You'll have Alvin Kamara for a little bit. You know, the defense is strong. I don't know. It's okay. Is he going to be better than Andy Dalton? Yeah. Is he going to be way better than Andy Dalton? Probably not. So it's fine.
Yeah. I mean, like I know, Derek Brown has made the case that Andy Dalton was sort of unfairly maligned and that he was actually better than people thought and that Carr would only...
He graded very well. Like a PFF, he's like a top 10 QB, Andy Dalton. But like when you're just asking a guy to make the easy throws and not do anything to win you games, he should grade well. You know?
Yeah. So, I mean, like Carr, for dynasty purposes, Carr himself is a low-end quarterback, too. I think I've got him at like quarterback 23 in my dynasty rankings. He's in his early 30s. I don't think he's ever had a season, or maybe one season, where he finished in quarterback one range in fantasy scoring or fantasy points per game.
And that was early.
Yeah. And it was like 10th. It wasn't high in QB one range. But I do think it bodes pretty well for the guys he's going to be playing with, like Chris Olave. And by the way, Derek Carr like had some statistical slippage last year in passer rating, completion percentage, yards per attempt, but his average depth of throw was a yard deeper than it was in 2020 and 2021. So maybe that was a function of the Josh McDaniels offense and just being asked to push the ball downfield a little
bit more.
Also
getting Devontae, you know,
and getting Devontae
being open late, you know, deeper is great.
But I think, yeah, the fact that I think his average depth of throw was like 9.1 yards, that bodes pretty well for Chris Olave and to a lesser extent Rashid Shaheed, who's kind of an intriguing sleeper because those guys are vertical threats. I think this is potentially really good for Alvin Kamara. I mean, legal difficulties aside, I mean, we miss those days where, you know, first 4 years of Alvin Kamara's career, 80 plus catches, 81, yeah. 81, 81, and 84. And let's see, in Carr's career with the Raiders, the Raiders were like always top 11 in the percentage of team targets to their running backs in 8 of his 9 years. They were, I think, the running backs in terms of target share, 4th, 11th, 10th, 2nd, 8th, 8th, 9th, 4th, and then 17th this last year. So that would seem to bode well for Kamara. And then as far as Juwan Johnson or whoever the other tight ends there are there, Darren Waller had back-to-back 1,000-yard season. So we know Carr has no compunction about throwing to his tight ends. So all in all,
they haven't had in New Orleans for a while, but Juwan Johnson is separating himself now. So that's been nice.
Yeah, he's an RFA, I think, but he should be back.
Yeah. How about the franchise tag fits? I mean, Lamar Jackson got the non-exclusive tag. Danny Dollars now got paid, so the Giants were able to use theirs on Saquon, Josh Jacobs, Tony Pollard, Evan Ingram, and Daron Payne were the franchise tag guys. What do you think about this Lamar Jackson situation? So many teams publicly saying they're out on it. How could the Falcons possibly be out on him? I think that's absurd. Same thing with the Panthers. Like, those two in particular are ridiculous to me, and I don't believe it at all.
Yeah, it's weird that they have either legitimately no interest or are holding the cards really close to the vest. And yeah, it's hard to see where this is going. I just, like, I don't know if there's a market for him. There just hasn't been like any smoke in the rumor mill about him possibly going anywhere else.
New England like came out right before we fired up today. So New England as a possibility, I guess they would trade Mac Jones if that was the case. But I wouldn't hate seeing Lamar with that offense. And I mean, he would be the only piece. So him and Ramondre. So that would be a lot of yards for him. It'd be fairly similar probably to what they were doing in Baltimore. But I would prefer Atlanta or Carolina. But, you know, if he has to go to New England,
can you imagine, Boggs, like New England has had immobile quarterbacks for so long. Mac Jones, Tom Brady for a long time. Before that, it was Drew Bledsoe. Like,
right.
Steve Grogan was like the last running quarterback they had. And, you know, I think only I am old enough to remember Steve Grogan.
Yeah, I don't remember Steve Grogan. So, yeah, I remember Bledsoe. But, yeah, man, it's been stiff. But I would love to see what Belichick would do with a guy like Lamar. I think he'd let him play a little bit more pro style than just, you know, sling it. Run it. So I would be excited to see that. But before we go on and talk about some of these free agents, let me remind you guys about the Dynasty Draft Kit. It's in 2023, the Dynasty Draft Kit. You can find it at fantasypros.com/dynasty with expert rankings, trade advice, combine coverage, Dynasty rookie profiles, position primers, and more. You'll have everything you need to dominate your draft for free. Upgrading to premium unlocks even more strategy content in our draft kit, along with access to our Discord, which allows you to directly interact with the analysts like us. We do these on Fridays at 5 Eastern on the Discord, Fitzy and I. So check those out. Unlock the secret to crushing your dynasty draft with our Dynasty Draft Kit today at fantasypros.com/ Dynasty. All right, Fitz, let's run through some of these free agents here. Among the quarterbacks, we got Lamar, we got Jimmy G, we got Jacoby, Baker Mayfield, Marcus Mariota, and we got way more teams than that that need a QB, right? We're throwing Lamar in there because he has this exclusive rights tag, which means that any team can negotiate with him, offer him a contract, and if the Ravens decide they don't want to match it, they get two first-round picks from that team, or they can match it and then work out a bigger trade if they think Lamar is worth more, however it works, right? So I'm going to put Baltimore in there, but obviously the Jets, they might have Aaron Rodgers. They might be done. The Colts and Texans are probably getting draft picks, but the Raiders need a QB. Washington still has Howell. Green Bay, if Jordan Love is the guy, I know you don't trust him. Tampa Bay, Carolina, Atlanta, Arizona. Do you see a fit for any of these guys that feels perfect to you?
No, I think Jimmy G is going to wind up with one of those teams as a bridge quarterback, getting a 1 or 2 year deal, I would think.
Sure.
That's it. I mean, of all the other free agents you mentioned, Boggs, I mean, who is starter material? There's really none. There are a lot of failed starters in there.
Sure.
No one who is probably going to go in and have a chance. Maybe someone, who could compete with Anthony Richardson, say, for playing time in year one, or just basically be given the starter's role until Richardson is ready, more realistically. But
I heard a rumor of Baker to San Francisco. I kind of like Baker to Arizona, right? Like, prove it for half a season and then maybe be a backup when Kyler comes back or whatever. Those guys were teammates at Oklahoma. I think that could be a nice fit. But like you said, the rest of these, it's not the greatest free agent class here, which is why Lamar being out on so many people's boards is surprising. Just kind of shocking at this point. Any more on the quarterbacks? You want to roll to the running backs?
Yeah, let's go with running backs. More interesting there.
Definitely more interesting. We have some guys that could get cut. I mean, it seems all but a certainty, especially with the legal stuff that he has going on now. Joe Mixon is out in Cincinnati, so probably going to be a cut. They're going to give his money over to Joe Burrow, get him locked up long-term, and get that taken care of. Dalvin Cook has seemed like potentially a cut here for the Vikings. They need to get under the cap. I thought Za'Darius Smith, my boy CK over on the In This League War Room, we talked at length about that. We kind of thought that Za'Darius Smith was going to be the guy there, but now it looks more like Dalvin Cook. Miles Sanders is a free agent. Montgomery, Leonard Fournette, Devin Singletary, Jamal Williams, Alexander Mattison, very underrated. Samaje Perine, Damian Harris, Deontay Foreman, Kareem Hunt, Jerick McKinnon, Jeff Wilson, Rashad Penny. There's so many good ones. And there's not that many teams looking for running backs. The Vikings and Bengals will be if those guys get cut. New Orleans with Kamara being questionable. Philly now doesn't have Miles Sanders. They could draft one, though. Chicago needs one. Detroit needs someone with Swift. It could just be re-sign Jamal. Buffalo needs one, Miami, and maybe Denver if Javonte, they said he's a little bit behind schedule right now. So do you see a perfect fit here, or who are you most excited to see get a deal done? And I guess maybe Zeke needs to be thrown into this as well, because he's a potential cap casualty.
Yeah, and there are a lot of teams looking to that aren't necessarily running back needy, but might be looking to add one.
Depth.
So it's interesting, Boggs, with so many intriguing free agent running backs and a very deep class of rookie running backs. Like, there are going to be a lot of landing spots that people hate, like where log jams. We're going to get a lot of log jams that people are going to despise. And we'll probably also have a couple situations where guys who, maybe we were neutral on, land in a spot where, like, hey, they're at the top of the pecking order. This could be potentially really good. But I think the spots I'm most interested in seeing filled are the vacancies. Well, now I guess the Bengals, great offense.
Yeah.
Who's going to go there? Is it going to be some sort of committee?
P-Line's a free agent too. Yeah, that's kind of crazy. Nobody's there.
And Minnesota is going to be interesting too, but also Miami and Philadelphia.
Dude, like, I would love to see Leonard Fournette go to Miami. That would be outstanding. I know people are tired of Leonard Fournette, but I still like him. So
yeah,
I'd love to see him there.
anyone, like, hey man, we were talking about A-Chain possibly going to like as a dream spot because of the wide zone running scheme that they're on there. So but you know, to a lesser extent, Cardinals, Falcons, Ravens, Panthers, Bears, Saints, there are a lot of teams with some sort of need at running back. It's going to be really fascinating to see where those dominoes fall. To me, that's kind of the story of free agency if you're a fantasy football enthusiast, how the running back position shakes out in free agency.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Wide receiver class, not nearly as good as the running back free agency class here. We've got, I guess, at the top, Juju, Jacoby Myers, OBJ, Odell Beckham Jr. still hasn't signed. Michael Thomas, void contract, so he's a free agent. Robert Woods got cut. DJ Chark, Alan Lazard, Mecole Hardman, Darius Slayton, Sterling Shepard, Julio, a couple old guys, Marvin Jones in there. And there's teams that need wide receivers. Atlanta still needs one with London. Carolina needs one with Moore. The Giants need anybody. Dallas needs somebody to pair with Lamb because the guys haven't worked out. New England, Jacoby Myers was their best, and he's gone. Cleveland needs someone with Cooper. Baltimore doesn't have anything. Tennessee, I mean, we hope it's Burks, but you have to make sure. Houston, Brandon Cooks is gone after this year, and Vegas has, you know, the ghost of Hunter Renfro and Devontae. So there are tons of teams with needs. We know the draft class is very deep, so most of these answers will be through draft picks. But do you have like, I know Juju's already been kind of negotiating with Kansas City. Would you like to see him go back there, potentially go somewhere else and be the guy?
See, this is the thing, Boggs. There are not any super exciting landing spots for, I shouldn't say that there are none, but when you think about it, there's either you could go to a good offense like the Cowboys offense, but you've already got the alpha guy in place there in CeeDee Lamb.
And Schultz. Yeah. Or I guess Schultz is a free agent too. So
The wide receiver neediest teams in the league also happen to be some of the run heaviest teams in the league, like the Bears, who desperately need wide receiver help and have a ton of money to spend. They ran the ball on 56.2% of their offensive snaps last year and averaged 152 passing yards per game, which was by far the fewest in the league. The Ravens, also very wide receiver needy, third highest running percentage in the league. Titans need receivers, sixth highest run percentage. Giants.
Part of it is because they don't have those wideouts.
That's part of it for sure. But like we know the Ravens and Titans like to run the ball.
They're gonna
maybe the Giants would throw the ball more. I mean, they were 11th in rushing percentage last year, but part of that is a running quarterback. Part of it is having bad wide receivers. Here's actually a spot that could be a good landing spot for receivers, Boggs. The Texans.
Yeah,
they're going to have a quarterback. Presumably they are going to get one of these rookies.
They're going to be down in a lot of games. Yeah. Playing catch up late.
Exactly. And if you've got Stroud or Young throwing to one of these guys, like pretty accomplished passing quarterbacks, I don't think the Texans are a bad landing spot at all for a wide receiver.
The tight ends are even worse. Dalton Schultz is a big guy. Gesicki's probably too, with Hayden Hurst, Hooper, Moreau, Irv Smith. It's bad. Obviously, we have a lot coming in through the draft, but I've got tight end needs for the Chargers. They might cut Everett. That's a possibility. Tennessee, like we said, blocker. Houston, Cincinnati, Miami, Detroit, Green Bay, Washington, Carolina. Give me a spot for Schultz. Where do you want to see Schultz go?
You left one team off the list, Boggs. They re-signed Evan Engram. Never mind.
They franchised him.
Bengals is a place for. So, I mean, either Schultz or I would not be sad if it was Dalton Kincaid, Musgrave, Laporta, some rookie stud there. But Schultz wouldn't be bad. I'm kind of hoping. I kind of think Schultz is just a guy, to be honest, Boggs.
I thought Darnell Washington was a perfect guy for Cincinnati, but after that combine, I don't think he's falling that far. I think Cincinnati would have to go up and get him. So, Schultz costs a lot of money, and they're already kind of up against the cap. That'd be a great spot for him. I'd love to see him go there. I could see Gesicki doing it. You know, they probably still need a blocking tight end, but I could see Gesicki doing it. That could be a possibility. But that is going to wrap it up for the Fantasy Pros Dynasty Fantasy Football Podcast here at FitzFF on the Twitter machine. Fitzy, what do you got coming up?
next week, Boggs. I mean, the tampering period begins on Monday, so, or this week, depending on when this is released. So we are going to be doing a lot of rapid reaction stuff on free agency. So whenever deals or imminent deals are announced, we are going to be giving you our fantasy takes, both from a redraft and dynasty perspective.
So much fun. You can catch me at Bogman Sports on the Twitter. Of course, I'm here. I'm doing baseball stuff with the Welsh over at In This League and the War Room with CK over at In This League as well. So just follow me at Bogman Sports. You can see all the stuff I'm doing, and we will catch you guys next week. Take it easy, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Dynasty Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.